This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I almost forgot. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It's that or watch The View.
You know, it was it was so uncivilized when he's like lunging at him and grabbing at him. I mean, the Republicans like to use identity politics, and they like to talk about thugs a lot, and they like to talk about other people. I saw a lot of thuggishness going on. I saw thugs at work. I saw this.
America's collective IQ goes down every time women watch this show. All right, enough. You know what time it is. It's Monday, baby. It's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every single Monday at this time for you new listeners. We take a Medal of Honor citation. They do a write-up every time someone earns the Medal of Honor. They do a write-up of what he did, and we read it. That's it. We read it. Sometimes I'll discuss some of the events surrounding it or history behind it, but we simply take it and we read it. We honor these men, but it's about more than that. It's about remembering their deeds, remembering the men, and influencing the culture. Culture is just what your society incentivizes and what it disincentivizes. We need a lot more of this and a lot less of what we have now. And I take suggestions. We always have. They're piling up. Please email them in. If you have friends, family, just one you like, email in your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions, and your Medal of Honor citation things to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This is a request. This guy says, leader of deleterious consequences. I would like to recommend reading the citation of Gary Gordon from the Battle of Mogadishu in 1993. My father served in the Air Force for 28 years and met some of the soldiers who were in the Battle of Mogadishu while deployed in Afghanistan in 2003. Next October will be the 30th anniversary of this conflict. Thank you for what you do, sir. Keep fighting the good fight. His name is Chris, not our Chris. This was a decent Chris. So without further ado, Gary Gordon, U.S. Army.
Ready? Eight.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
Master Sergeant Gary I. Gordon, United States Army, distinguished himself by action above and beyond the call of duty on the 3rd of October 1993 while serving as a sniper team leader, United States Army Special Operations Command with Task Force Ranger in Mogadishu, Somalia. Master Sergeant Gordon's sniper team provided precision fires from the lead helicopter during an assault and at two helicopter crash sites while subjected to intense automatic weapons and rocket-propelled grenade fires. When Master Sergeant Gordon learned that ground forces were not immediately available to secure the crash site, he and another sniper unhesitatingly volunteered to be inserted to protect the four critically wounded personnel, despite being aware of the growing number of enemy personnel closing in on the site. After his third request to be inserted, Master Sergeant Gordon received permission to perform his voluntary mission. When debris and enemy ground fires at the site caused him to abort the first attempt, Master Sergeant Gordon was inserted 100 meters south of the crash site, equipped with only his sniper rifle and pistol. Master Sergeant Gordon and his fellow sniper, while under intense small arms fire from the enemy, fought their way through a dense maze of shanties and shacks to reach the critically injured crew members. Master Sergeant Gordon immediately pulled the pilot and other crew members from the aircraft, established a perimeter which placed him and his fellow sniper in the most vulnerable position. Master Sergeant Gordon used his long-range rifle and sidearm to kill an undetermined number of attackers until he depleted his ammunition. Master Sergeant Gordon then went back to the wreckage, recovering some of the crew's weapons and ammunition. Despite the fact that he was critically low on ammunition, he provided some of it to the dazed pilot and then radioed for help. Master Sergeant Gordon continued to travel the perimeter, protecting the downed crew. After his team member was fatally wounded and his own rifle ammunition exhausted, Master Sergeant Gordon returned to the wreckage, recovering a rifle with the last 5 rounds of ammunition, and gave it to the pilot with the words, "Good luck." Then, armed only with his pistol, Master Sergeant Gordon continued to fight until he was fatally wounded. His actions saved the pilot's life. Master Sergeant Gordon's extraordinary heroism and devotion to duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon him, his unit, and the United States Army. Rest in peace, sir. Should be noted, you probably are thinking of the movie everyone's seen by this point in time, Black Hawk Down, around that. One of the most incredible things, I've only ever heard of this twice, one of the most incredible things is they actually dialed down the heroism of those two snipers just for believability, for the things that they did, the things they went through. It was a relatively small part of that movie. What they did was just awesome. It was beyond awesome. And the only time I've ever heard of that was that movie, Mel Gibson movie, was it Heartbreak Ridge, Chris? Go figure that out. Hacksaw Ridge. Hacksaw Ridge, Mel Gibson made that movie in a big part. The central character in that movie was a Desmond Doss. He was a pacifist, really. So he wouldn't shoot a gun, but he became a medical guy. And Mel Gibson and the filmmakers of that movie, Mel Gibson supposedly is a really good dude, by the way. He actually turned down some of the things Desmond Doss did during that rescue because he thought the audience is not—they're not going to believe that men like that exist. It's the only time I've ever heard of that. Hollywood dialing it down. Whoa, back off! That's too far. Nobody's that big of a stud. No. Gary Gordon was. That's freaking cool. You know, let's get to some emails. That was. Oh, you know what? Quick side note. Battle of Mogadishu. A lot of people don't know very much about the background, and I'm not going to go a ton into it, but just know that Somalia is a weapons-grade dump now, and it really always has been. It just is a dump. It's a disastrous country run by warlords. It really always has. When they get a government, it's not very stable at all. It may come down like a house of cards at any moment. And what happened, a lot of this escalation was, there was, of course, this horrible, all these factions going to war there, and the United Nations stepped in trying to be police, essentially. And what we did was we essentially said, hey, you guys, all you warlords, I mean, you can do your thing within reason, but we need to inspect your major weapons dumps. Those need to always be subject to inspection, which is weird. You know, the people are always going to hide the stuff like that, but that was part of it. And a Pakistani contingent of the UN went in for an inspection, went in to do some stuff. And they got ambushed by the Somalis, by Adid, the general Adid, the dude who was in charge of this particular faction, wasn't in charge of all of them. And they killed a bunch of Pakistanis, I forget how many, 20 or 30 of them. But that's really what prompted the escalation from us of we have to take down Adid. And the Black Hawk Down, you know, the book, the movie, that was us trying to go get a couple of his lieutenants, which we actually in the end ended up getting. And obviously, we lost some guys there, and that was a really dark conflict. But I will tell you, having served with somebody who was there, he was intimately there. I won't go into all the details of that. We learned a lot of very, very hard lessons. Really, the only way you can learn many lessons in combat, we learned them the hard way. Like, you don't you don't know. It doesn't make the movies the Rangers that were actually shooting at some of the Delta Force guys by accident, because it was just, urban combat was, it is so difficult. Urban combat is so difficult. It's very, very difficult. It's not like the Rangers did something wrong. They weren't trained enough. We didn't know enough then. Like you didn't know enough when you're in an environment like that. You don't just hover a helo out there. You're just RPG bait at that point in time. We learn lessons, and very sadly, that look, this takes place in training to this day. You learn lessons by people dying. You see a horrible training accident out there. It happens all the time in the military. Someone died here. It happened with the NYPD recently. Some dude just was fast roping out and broke his legs. Remember that fireman, New York fireman, just died on train. You learn hard lessons by people giving their lives. That's what their life paid for, was a lesson that will save other lives. So if you're going to take comfort in it, take comfort in that. All right. You know what I take comfort in, Chris? I take comfort in knowing that my cell phone money that we have budgeted out every month, that it doesn't go to communists. And it did. For the longest time, I had Verizon. That's actually my first one. Then AT&T was my first one. AT&T is what I had first. And then I switched to Verizon. And after that, I switched to T-Mobile. So I actually hit all of them. I don't have any right to judge you or point fingers, but I've sent a lot of money to these cell phone companies who then take my money and run ad campaigns that are putrid that I can't let my sons watch now. You know who's never done that and never will? Pure Talk. Same coverage, same great 5G network as one of those big guys. I pay about half, only Pure Talk shares my values. So my cell phone money every month, it goes to people who are with me, not fighting tooth and nail against me. And you can join me in that. It's cake. You keep your phone, keep your number, whatever. All it takes is picking up that phone right now and you dial #250 say Jesse Kelly. You can save an additional 50% off your first month on top of everything else. Dial #250 say Jesse Kelly. All right. Switch to Pure Talk.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And Chris, would you look into that for me, please? That's important. Chris and I were having, look, every single day we sit down with all these stories and all these important things going on in the world. And so we have to have tough conversations here on the Jesse Kelly Show to make sure we're always in the know, right? So Chris is currently looking up for me, does Waffle House franchise, because Waffle House is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I don't understand why the wife won't go in there. She says it's, quote, dirty. I've been at a bunch, and some of them weren't that clean, but I've never, the food is always wonderful. It's not dirty if you can see the grease, okay? Sorry, Waffle House is an open book. I love me some Waffle House. All right. One thing else, you know what? We're going to address the coming war with China here. We're going to address that in a minute, but I want to do something else first, because I don't know if you know, but President Biden spoke today. President Jill Biden, the actual president, not the half-functioning cadaver who acts like he's president of the United States. President Jill Biden spoke, and I'll tell you something, man. Western women, not you, talking about the Western communist women, they are something else.
From soft lullabies to battle cries for justice, women nurse and nurture, teach and build, lead and dream our world forward each and every day. We have never been silent, but women Amen. Have been silenced. For many women around the world, simply raising their voice is a struggle, and they've had to fight for a seat at the table. When women are left behind or pushed out.
Now, I realize maybe I have a different perspective on this because I'm a dude, but have women been silenced in this country? Because I've got to be honest with you. If women have been silenced in America, that is news to me. Every time you turn around, there's some woman on television complaining about something or complaining about this or complaining about that. And this sucks and that sucks. And woman this and woman that and glass ceiling. Have women been silenced in America? If this is what silenced looks like, God forbid they're ever allowed to talk. That's what I have to say. Because if this is silence, my word, you can't be serious. They're friggin' everywhere. And by the way, while I'm on the subject, entertainment, movies. I guess I'm even going to talk to video game makers now. You see, my son is playing this video game. When we let them play video games, we limit it. But he's playing this video game where he's a Viking. And he's doing like all this Viking stuff. And he's chopping people up. And he showed me. It looks pretty cool. Certainly a little better than the video games we had when I was a kid. And as I'm watching this video game, something he pointed out, like, half of the characters, the Viking warriors in the video game, are women. Okay. That didn't happen. And you're not fooling anybody. Even my son noticed how stupid and ridiculous all this is. And you know what? You know what all this comes down to? I'm going to go off on another rant here, get myself in trouble. That's fine. I don't give a crap. You know what all this comes down to? We talked about it before on the show. Everyone today on the right complains about equity. But they don't realize most of the people on the right would tell you they do support equality. And equality was the foot in the door that led us to equity. Because guess what? And I know you're not going to hear this in kindergarten class these days, and you're certainly not going to see it on the news, and apparently you're not going to play it in the video games. But equality doesn't actually exist. Each and every human being is very different, different talents, different flaws. Men and women are most definitely different. And guess what? Oh, I know this is going to be shocking. Go ahead and write this one down, everybody. Men are better warriors than women because men are bigger, stronger, faster. And so not only today, and believe me, it very much applies to today, when humping 80 pounds worth of gear from this place to that place is a critical part of combat, but not only today, but especially back in the day when they were fighting with axes and shields and swords. I don't care what you saw in the Hollywood movies with the spin kicks and the ka ka ka, I'm female king warrior. That didn't ever happen, ever, because a woman would have got her head chopped off about 35 seconds into the battle because she wasn't big enough, strong enough, or fast enough to fight hand-to-hand combat with the men. I know that doesn't make us equal because we're not equal at all. We are given very different roles in a society. Very different roles in a society. We do not have the same role. Women were not Vikings over... Viking warriors, I should say. Obviously, there were plenty of female Vikings over and over again. You can't spin kick your way. Ah, but Jesse, you don't understand. I've been going to self-defense class, and he showed me the pressure points on his forearm. Just go get a hero gun, please. I know he showed you pressure points. And if I stomp his toes here and then turn around and I'll do a wrist twist and I'll throw him across the room. No, please just pull out your hero arrow and blast him in the face with pepper gel and then run away. Please, please. Please get something tangible in your hands, ladies. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You're not fast enough. I don't care how many years you've spent in training. If you run into a man with violent tendencies, he's going to hurt you bad unless you have the ability to stop him. Get a hero gun or a hero arrow. They're non-lethal, so you don't even have to stress. I don't want to kill anybody. Good, good. I hope you never have to kill somebody. Blast them in the face with that thing while they're laying there crying. You turn and run. Guess what? Even after you blast him with the hero arrow and he's laying there crying, you don't pull out the spin kicks or the pressure points. Then you turn and you sprint for help in the other direction, okay? Hero2020.com. You don't need a concealed carry permit. Hero2020.com, code Jesse, all right? State restrictions may apply. I'm not saying don't do your self-defense courses. Get in your jujitsu. Get in that stuff. That stuff is good. Get something in your hands, a weapon that will allow you to stop a violent man, all right? Hero2020.com, code Jesse. It's crazy. Women have been silenced out there. Women, we've been silenced. Who's silencing Western women? They never shut up, ever. It's never stopped. All right. I think we're about to have World War III with China. We'll talk about that next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get to World War III, you know what's underrated? Italian sausage sandwiches. I brought it up. No, hear me out. No, hear me out, Chris. And people can say it's white trash or not white trash. I am white trash. I can't help what I am. But here's why it's underrated. It's not expensive. It's easy. The whole family loves it. What's better than that besides maybe Kraft Mac? What's better than that? And here's what, Chris? What? Chris said garlic bread. That's incorporated in the sandwich if you know what you're doing, Chris. All right, now here's the deal. Here's the deal. You take some Italian sausages you get at the store. Whatever, pick your brand. I prefer hot Italian. My sons are little girls, so they don't like as much spice as I do, but I prefer hot Italian subs. But you get whatever sausage you want. Just so you know, the package of five or six sausages you get at the grocery store. You pull out your slow cooker. We just did this. We do this all the time. It's wonderful. You drop the Italian sausages in the slow cooker. You take a jar of your favorite marinara sauce, and you simply dump that on there. Every grocery store has 1,000 jars of it. You turn it on low. You come back 4 hours later. You reach in there, bust out the sausage. You take a piece of any kind of bun you want. You can do hot dog buns or get the upgraded grocery store buns. I personally actually do make garlic bread out of mine. I put a little butter and garlic on there. Then I toast it real quick first. Drop the sausage on there. And then this is the important part. You take a piece of sliced provolone or some mozzarella. That's Italian, Chris. You take some mozzarella, drop it on there, throw it in the oven on broil for like a minute, 2 minutes, let the cheese melt. Boom. You're eating like a king with no effort, like no dishes, no effort. Chris, you'll learn to appreciate this when you get a bigger family and when grocery bills get more and more expensive. I'll tell you that much. Italian sausage sandwiches, always a hit. Great. Let's talk about World War III now. This one says, Dr. Jesse, oh, symmetrical menu whisperer. Why would the U.S. not have declared Taiwan a protectorate at the end of World War II? And did we still think of them as enemies till after Korea? We seem to have a chicken-ass policy on them now, as we support with arms but still support the one China policy. Aren't we just making it some more innocence with that? Look, all of America's foreign policy, it's kind of all over the map. And this is the problem. I don't know how you fix this as a nation, but it's not unique to us as a nation. Historically, the big struggle on the world stage, and it's led to many, many, many wars and things like that, is this. There's no consistency when it comes to foreign policy. Again, I don't want you to think that's unique to America. You can go back to England. England, when it's all knights and lords and earls and duchesses and something like that. And you have one king, and France sucks. Screw France. And eventually he gets himself assassinated or he dies. The next king comes over and he marries a French princess. I love France. Send over the croissants or whatever you people eat. But then 20 years later, he dies. Another king comes in. France sucks. We're going to war. It screws everything up. American foreign policy is no different. It's just always very, very messy. And it's one of those things, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, as an oracle, Chris, as the Shogun should never admit these things, but I will. I don't have an answer for it. I don't have an answer for how to fix our foreign policy that seems to be all over the map. All these different philosophies, all these different ways of thinking, what's right, what's wrong. Like Russia, Ukraine right now. We don't talk a lot about it on the show because people don't care. And the propaganda turned me off by both sides, so I just don't watch anymore. But if you get someone who's really hawkish on the whole thing, no, we need to send Ukraine whatever they want. They'll inevitably end up saying this. We have to keep Russia in check for world peace. If we don't, it's the end of the world. Now, I don't buy into that, but I mean, they might be right. You never know. You never know. Maybe Putin's getting ready to kick the button. Vladimir Putin. Maybe Putin's getting ready to kick the bucket. And maybe the next guy who steps in is going to be someone who wants to launch a nuke at Chicago. I don't know. Look, you don't know. That's a lot of it. So anyway, that stuff aside, here's what's going on. The headline from scmp.com is PLA sends 57 planes near Taiwan in a high-intensity, I love this part, combat exercise. Okay. Pull up a chair here. There are exercises that are exercises when it comes to the military. And then there are exercises that are dress rehearsals and mobilizations. And here, allow me to explain. Like when I was in the Marines, when we were in 29 Palms, we would go to, they had something called CACS. It sucked. It's a big combined arms thing out in the desert of 29 Palms, where you have to go out and you stay in the middle of the desert and you're roasted to death out there and you're doing all sorts of combat stuff. But it's all these different parts of combat. They come in and you're practicing for war. Now that, because you're in the middle of California and you're sadly not invading it, that is just an exercise. We're just out here practicing, guys. But historically, large movements of armies oftentimes is sold as an exercise. We're just practicing, but it's not really an exercise. It's what we call mobilization. Remember, mobilization is something that has always been and will always take place. It is the movement of equipment and men and supplies into the necessary positions so that they are available for rapid deployment in combat once hostilities break out. That's one. Two, a high-intensity combat exercise is oftentimes a dress rehearsal. So if you're the PLA and you send 57 warplanes into Taiwan's airspace, look, you're doing that for a reason. This is not exactly a bold prediction, so you don't need to write this down or record this or anything, Chris. I mean, you're welcome to, but I believe China will be in Taiwan before the year is out. I do. And that is going to present a gigantic problem. And here's why that's going to present a gigantic problem. One, the supply chain issue. As much as I dislike it, and as much as you dislike it, China makes so much of what we consume here in America, what the world consumes. It shouldn't be that way. We should work to end that, but they do. They make so much of it. Once hostilities break out, we will be hostile towards China. How hostile? Well, we'll dig into that here in a couple minutes. How hostile? I don't know, but we will be hostile towards China. Are you ready for some empty shelves? Are you prepared for a different standard of living? Oh, no, honey, we're out of staples. Got to run down to the store and get some staples. And there just ain't no staples there. In fact, your town doesn't have any. No staples at all. Are you ready for that? Look, I don't know if I am. Just thinking about everything, thinking about the change in that. That's probably actually a really good time for me now to bring up once again. I brought it up a bunch before. Do you have an emergency 3-month food kit for everyone in your house? Every single person. if that grocery store, if those shelves are empty, or it gets so bad the doors just stay locked, because that's how things get when things get like that. Can every person in your home eat for 3 months without going to that store and eat well? Remember, I'm not saying, oh, we've got an apple tree. An apple a day may keep the doctor away. You're not going to stay alive on that very long. My Patriot Supply has emergency 3 month food kits ready to go. They're $250 off right now. It would be a really good time given the financial potential for the coming year and now military potential for the coming year. It'd be a good time right about now to get your emergency 3 month food kit. Go to mypatriotsupply.com or at their $250 off. Mypatriotsupply.com before the problems happen. I can't stress that enough. Before the problems happen, they're not going to be $250 off once the problems get here. That I can guarantee you. All right. That was the financial side of it, at least a little bit of it. We'll touch a little bit more on that, and we'll talk about the military side of it next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you look, just subscribe to the show. If you miss any part of it, you can download the whole thing. They podcast all 3 hours on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. I can't do anything about them separating all 3 hours out. I don't understand it either. Just subscribe so it automatically downloads. And more importantly than that, leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. Back to World War III with China, who I've said within the year is going to invade Taiwan. That's not some bold prediction. A lot of people would say that, but it's obviously coming. They're doing exercises. They're rehearsing for war, which brings me to this. I'm not going to go into the whole thing because I think that's kind of boring radio. People do it way too often, but there's an article in the Asia Times, and it's titled U.S. Navy, A Looming Threat and a Hollow Force. Now, I need to clarify a couple things. One, the founding fathers, our nation, they wanted to stay out of foreign wars. That's what your nation was founded on and what your nation did up until World War I. Keep in mind, that was always America. Nope, not our problem. Don't get involved. Nope, not our problem. Don't get involved. Worked out very well for us. That's one. Two, the founding fathers, they believed that an army, a standing army, should be very small, very, very minimal. They believe a large standing army inevitably is going to be a threat to liberty. And they've proven to be right about that over and over again. But as much as this pains me to say, they understood that a navy was critically important, especially for us. Pull up a map. You'll see why. Oh, there's a big blue thing on the left and the right. You have to have a modern, powerful navy at all times. Really, if you're at all on the water, but definitely if you're the United States of America, you simply have to have that to protect yourself and to protect your shipping around the world, to assert your power around the world. You have to have it. It is a must. It's not an option. Which brings us to what we were just talking about. Keep in mind, China's navy is new. It's inexperienced, and we don't know if it's worth a crap at all. We do know that they're putting a lot of ships in the water. Surprise, surprise, China is dumping a lot of things into it. Okay, so they're putting a lot of ships in the water. That's what we know about them. Here's what we know about us. On top of all the endless woke training about hair braiding and LGBTQ and are we trans friendly enough, on top of all that, rotting out the naval force. The sailors who email me say, Jesse, you just can't imagine how bad it is. Jesse, I'm getting out. Jesse, they can't get sailors to swab the deck now. It's just lazy and worthless. The good guys who are in are getting so frustrated, so the good guys are leaving. So you have a Navy that's quickly becoming full of turds. More than you usually were, Navy. Quit. Anyway, you have a Navy that's quickly becoming full of turds. On top of that, so you're filling up with turds, right? The good people are leaving, and now you got a bunch of turds on the ship. On top of the turds on the ship itself is becoming a turd. There's been so many back and forth about what we want out of a Navy. What do you want? How many ships of this? What kind of it? Where do you spend your money? Do you spend it on destroyers? Should it go to aircraft carriers? Should it go to this? And then the technology changes all the time, remember? I heard something. I don't remember exactly where I heard it, but it was amazing. It was a military guy who told me that in World War I, there were these huge fleets in World War I. And remember, World War I was 20 years before World War II, 25 years. A World War I fleet, if it took on any World War II fleet, the World War II fleet would wipe it off the ocean and not lose a single ship. Like, not a lucky shot. And it's not because that's what I told him. I said, well, there'd be a lucky shot. He said, no, there wouldn't. There would be no lucky shots unless there was an equipment malfunction. Every World War II ship would have survived. Technology changes and advances so quickly. You can put out a battleship today that has the most upgraded weapon system out there, so you can detect and deter a long-range Chinese missile, let's say, that's coming to put you at the bottom of the Pacific, and it's ready to go, and it's awesome, but then it takes 2 years to build the ship, and then by the time you get into the Pacific, they got a missile that beats that. You see the problem. So our ships are getting old. They're decommissioning them. They're old. They're rusty. They're not ready. We have fewer ships today than we have in a long, long, long time. So, okay, we have a ship filled with turds. It's a rusty old ship filled with turds. But wait, there's more. I don't mean to pile on everything here. The financial situation worldwide, but let's focus on America for the time being, is really, really, really bad right now. And all these politicians have enjoyed looting the treasury for all these years, but we are most definitely coming up on a time where there will be painful cuts everywhere. We've all been drunk on the spending for a long time. That credit card bill comes due at some point, and then the party is most definitely over. Then you go from eating something nice like Red Lobster to eating fish sticks from the store. That's the truth. So we need ships now. We need good sailors manning modern ships. We do. America should always have that. And not only do we not have the sailors, we don't have the ships, and we are not going to have the money for the ships. We are, you don't think it can happen because you've always lived, I've always lived in number one. When you've always been number one, it's the way of thinking. You're always going to be number one. But that ain't the way the world works. Things go up and things go down. I am very, very nervous about some kind of a coming conflict with China. I am. All right. Let's do a little more politics. Get to some emails. Jesse, saw your tweet about the GOP losing it at the slightest signs of discomfort. Better start cranking out those chalk stacks. It drives me crazy. The second there's an argument on the House floor for a few days, and I'm not talking about you. I'm not even talking about the politicians. The pundits, the radio guys and TV guys and writers, they all freak out. Oh, my gosh, this is the end of the world. It's weird. I drove to work today, and everything seemed to be working just fine in this country, even though there was an argument, an uncomfortable argument, guys. We can't do that. They do. They all should get on chalk subscriptions immediately. It should be part of the next budget package. In fact, I think I'll get a hold of Chip Roy and see if he'll throw it in there just to troll everybody. Part of the next budget package needs to be a male vitality stack for every male member of Congress, a female vitality stack for every female member, because clearly y'all are soft. And because we don't want to be a soft society, we need things like, a 20% increase in our testosterone in 90 days. You all need Chalk subscriptions. I take a male vitality stack every day. Chalk has endless natural herbal supplements, by the way. Whatever you're looking for, they have it. These are just a couple things they have. Female vitality stack, male vitality stack, lit powder, all of it 35% off with the promo code Jesse at chalk.com. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Go get you some. And let's pray our GOP leaders do the same. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.